family, for Joanne, Amanda, and then myself, really appreciate every one of you during this time in which it's been a difficult journey for our family, but really we appreciate your condolences, your prayers, and kind support. And part of our Hokkien tradition of the service, please go and get a sweet. This is how we practice when we come together for a week. Well, within 8 months, I've lost my father and my mother. So when I was in Singapore, I met my two besties, Raymond and Edwin, and say, wow, now I'm an orphan. And they say, no, you're not an orphan. You have a heavenly father that loves you. But really, sometimes in journey of life, we all had to say goodbyes to our loved ones. And this has been quite interesting past 4 years. In 2022, I lost my aunt, my mom's sister, which is like a second mom to me. Then 2023, I lost my mother-in-law. And last year, my dad, and this year, my mom. In one sense, Joanne and I was talking, we had not even begun to grieve. And it happened again. But the good thing about us as believers is what Jesus says, where we pass on, it's not an end of everything. Jesus says, we are simply asleep. And the last time we saw our loved ones, they are frail, they are in ill health. But praise be to God, the next time we're going to see them, they're going to be full of life. And that is the Christian hope. You know, I'm glad that mom and dad, God answered their prayers. They always pray for easy death. And in fact, I think my mom, this is the first time she's in hospital since she gave birth to me. 3 days, that's it. She's done. Right? And really, she'd been praying. I was telling us, when we were young, all the way up to last year, we saw her last, she said, I always pray for easy death. And thank God for my father, one day short of 99, my mom is 93. And they really never have ill health. They never on medication. They don't have any of those old age diseases, except they really reflect their old age in terms of they are old, but God has preserved them. And in one sense, we're going to miss them, but we also know that we have a family that's with us to comfort us, to be with us. And really, back in Singapore, we have a lot of postcards from heaven from people who really were there to care for us because everything was so surreal that, is it for real? But we thank God for everything that our parents have done for us, especially for my mom and dad, my father-in-law, my mother-in-law, for releasing us to ministry. It was never easy for them, for us to leave Singapore, to step up. And today we could minister among you, all you guys, and be a blessing to you. We hope it was because we have selfless parents who believe that the Great Commission, the Kingdom of God, is worth it. So right now, if you have parents, please love them, care for them. Well, they're not going yet, but really appreciate every moment. You know, parents make times for us. There come a time we must make time for our parents. Let us pray. Father, we thank you for today. We thank you for the message of the gospel. Once again, breathe life to us through your word. That your truth will set us free. For this we pray in your son's most precious name. Amen. This was a sermon I was supposed to preach 2 Sundays ago. I thought it had been stewing a bit. And today, you know, the title of my sermon is, what kind of fruit tree are you? Okay, turn to your neighbor and say, what kind of fruit tree are you? I say fruit tree, I didn't say fruit cake. Okay, what kind of fruit tree are you? And really, I think most of you will know this text from Matthew 7. If we can look at the PowerPoint, Matthew 7, verse 15 to 20. And Jesus here was preaching the Sermon on the Mount. He was preaching to his disciples. Right? He was giving them the straight fact about what it means to be the kingdom. And then he said to them, beware of false prophets who come to you in sheep's clothing, but inwardly they are ravenous wolves. You will know them by their fruits. Do men gather grapes from thorn bushes or figs from thistles? Even so, every good tree bears good fruit, but a bad tree bears bad fruit. A good tree cannot bear bad fruits, nor a bad tree bears good fruit. Every tree that does not bear good fruit is cut down and thrown into the fire. Therefore, by their fruits, you will know them. Jesus says that in life, We, especially when we know the gospel, when we are in the kingdom, we are supposed to be faithful and fruitful. Amen? And he has given us his spirit that dwells in us, that we can produce the fruit of the spirit, love, joy, peace, kindness, goodness, and everything else, is that we will be one, that we will be a blessing to others. So collectively and as well as individuals, we are called to be good fruits. And you and I should be glad that this is not us individually, that I must be a good fruit where God plants me, but collectively, as a people of God, as a community, we are good fruits or good tree as well. Right, so first light, I could tell you, is a good tree amongst other good trees in the city. Amen? You know, though we are small, I think we make our impact in our city of Perth. You know, our reputation precedes us. That's why for when we existed for 14 years as an independent church, right, we do our best to shine for Jesus in our city. And that's why when a few years back, when we were looking for a premise, you know, LGCC opened their arms and opened their hearts to welcome us. It's because our reputation precedes us. We never had any existing relationship before, but because of how we have carried ourselves, how we have been a blessing to the people of Perth, that our reputation precedes us, and that is why we were welcome here. And since then, you know, we have enjoyed their love, their hospitality and support, and I hope for many more years, First Light will be planted here, but much more we can shine together with our brothers and sisters at LGCC, that we will produce generation of good trees that will produce good fruits. Amen? You know, and so over the years, we also joined COCWA, Churches of Christ in WA. And when we apply, you know, our reputation also precedes us. The leadership knew who we were. And they will again welcome us with open arms and open hearts. So even though for 14 years, when we were independent as a church, I thank God that with all of you, with the leadership and every one of you, right, we help our ground and gain a good reputation. We help our ground that we can be a blessing to other people. But once in a while, I will tell you when I go for pastor's fellowship or pastor gathering, they like to ask you, which church are you from? And I will say, First Light. Never heard of you guys. Right, and some of them may pass night remarks that we are not part of their big boy clubs. Oh yes, in the kingdom, there are big boy clubs in a sense. And sometimes they even question our legitimacy, whether we are a fringe Christian group. First Light, are you a new ager? Right, where are you guys from? But the thing is this, you know, when God lead us and guide us, and over the years, we felt that as a community, we need to be part of a greater network to join association. Why? Because the public space is changing, right? Especially all over the world, especially in the West, there's more and more antagonism towards Christianity. And we felt as a church, we need to be part of association that, not because for protection, not like some mafia, we need protection, but I think there's the importance and value of collective wisdom. Like together with other brothers and sisters, with other people in a Christian community, we can know or we must know how we should act and stand, that we will continue to be sought and liked for Jesus Christ in our city and beyond. And it was wonderful that, you know, we didn't just jump and join COCWA just like that. It took us 2 years of research. We studied every movement there was, every network there was. And finally, we felt the Lord was leading for us to join this association called COCWA. And when we signed up, they already knew who we were. And last year, I was elected to be a board member of COCWA board. And to me, it's a very humbling experience. But at the same time, it says so much about us as individuals, as a people of God, that God has called us to be good trees to produce good fruits. Amen? Turn to your neighbor and ask, are you a good tree? Some of you say, yeah. It is easy for us as Christians when we move around. You know, Christians, when we move around, we are exceptionally very kind and full of grace. Right? And of course, we say, yeah, we are good. But when we step up into the world, into the marketplace, how will people define us? You know, last month I went to my laundry to pick up my dry cleaning, and I just talked to someone I just met. And he's a non-believer. And he knew I was a pastor, and we started having conversation and talking about theology and everything. And end of the day, you know, he just said to me, "I like you. You are no shit." I say, "Wow, that was the best compliment I ever got." When someone who is not of the faith, when someone who did not know God, yes, his language was a bit strong, but his expression is sincere. That when we step into place, people can say we are genuine. We are authentic. We may not be perfect. We will still stumble. But the truth is this. While we stumble, we still can grow. We can still learn and make our impact. So the challenge is, was Jesus to his disciple was, "All of you who follow me, you are called to be a good tree to produce good fruits. But don't be a bad tree." And he then began to define what is a bad tree. He says, there are false prophets, sheep, wolves in sheep's skin who are there to devour people. They are weeds, right? They cannot produce good. They cannot produce grapes from thorn bushes or figs from thistles. Then he went further on in verse 21. He says, "Not everyone who says to me, 'Lord, Lord,' shall enter the kingdom of heaven, and he who does the will of my Father, but he who does the will of my Father in heaven. Many will say to me in that day, 'Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in your name, cast out demons in your name, and done many wonders in your name?' And then I will declare to them, 'I never knew you. Depart from me, you practice lawlessness.'" Here is a sober lesson. Having great gifts does not mean we are genuine followers of Jesus. While the world will look to us because our gifts, the Lord looks to us because we bear fruits. Amen. Why we could bear fruits is because we abide ourselves in Him. The fruit that we produce is through the supernatural life that we have in Christ to be abundantly supported through the life of the Spirit. The things that we do flows from that grace. I have met many gifted people who have done great things in the name of Jesus. But the thing is this, Jesus tells us, "I do not know you." Now, let's break this down. He said that, "Did not we do all this in your name?" You must go back to Jewish culture, go back to that time. When you use the name of God, okay, there was a group of people say, if you can invoke the name of God, you can control God. When you use the name of God, you have power over God. That's why in the Old Testament, you know something, God never revealed his name. Moses says, "If I go to Egypt, who shall I say send me?" Remember that? Because the Egyptians had many gods. Right? And so Moses at that time still had the thinking, if I can bring a more powerful name, people will listen. But God just simply say, "I am who I am." And then Moses went, and then there were 10 plagues. And each plague was a manifestation of God's power against one of the gods of the Egyptian. Each god represents a cultural stronghold in one sense. But here was God, "I am who I am," working through Moses, destroying so-called the cultural gods of the Egyptian to say that this is the one true God. In Acts of the Apostles, if you go back, remember when Paul began to minister in Ephesus, there were 7 brothers called sons of Sceva, remember? And the sons of Sceva were copycats. They were looking at Paul, how Paul did ministry. They also want to do ministry. And they met one guy who was demon-possessed. And so they used the name of Jesus, remember that? Because they thought if they can control the name of Jesus, they can use the name of Jesus, Jesus will do what they want. And the demonic replied, Paul, I know. Jesus, I also know. But who are you? And then he went out attacking them. And Luke tells us they ran out practically naked because this demonic guy started tearing their clothes apart. But if you read in Greek, he said, Paul, I know. Jesus, I know. Actually, in Greek, he says, Paul, the demon, say, Paul, I knew somewhat. But Jesus, I know him. That's what the Greek actually trying to say. And go back to the gospel. Let me ask you, who were the very first people who knew who Jesus was? The demons. Not yet the disciple, not yet those among the crowd. But the first so-called person who knew who Jesus truly was were the demons. But now, coming back to this text, what Jesus is saying that there are people who will use my name, but they never truly follow me. And I'm glad that none of us, at least in first light, will ever use the name of Jesus. We exalt his name. We live off his name. As we serve him, we serve together with him. So this is what Jesus was trying to say to these people, that you were self-righteous. You do not know me. But they believe they ought to be known by Jesus by their accomplishment. But Jesus said, no, I do not know you. What we must learn from this text is this, especially if those of us who are serving, for those of us who have stepped up into ministry, we must ask ourselves, and we must always remind ourselves, everything we do must to be exalting the name of Jesus. Amen. Because the scripture says, the kingdom cannot be shaken. Agree? But a church can be shaken when what we do is not built on who Jesus is. Our life can be shaken and our ministry can be shaken. Everything that we build can be shaken if what we built is never on the lordship of Jesus Christ. And that's why in Hebrews it says the kingdom of God is unshakable. But what must be shaken until what left can be shaken no more. And so, as people of God, it is so important of us that right now, if you are going through a shakening phase in your life, okay, sometimes it's not so much God saying, God, why you're doing this to me? Sometimes we need to ask ourselves, have what I've been building based on what I want? Have I simply used the name of Jesus, but I have never followed Jesus? Remember a few weeks ago, I say sometimes we meet believers who like to use the G card, like God told me. And that can sometimes be manipulative. That sometimes can be something that is unwise. But sometimes in our life, if we are going through this shakening right now, I only can say to you, it's not God who condemns us or God is dealing with us, but God is showing to us, have you been building your life? Have you been building your ministry? Have you been building this church by the power of my name? At the end of the Sermon on the Mount, Jesus then tells his disciple in verse 24, therefore, whoever hears this saying of mine and does them, I will liken him to a wise man who built his house on the rock. And the rain descended, the floods came, and the winds blew and beat on that house. And it did not fall, for it was founded on the rock. Everyone who who hears these sayings of mine and does not do them will be like a foolish man who built his house on the sand. And the rain descended, the floods came, and the winds blew and beat on the house. And it fell. And what is the last thing he says? And great was its fall. To follow Jesus, let me assure you, it does not take great faith. Rather, it takes persistent faith. So sometimes we can say, I don't have great faith, thank God. But do you have persistent faith? Do you follow him right to the very end? Jesus said, if you listen to me and do what I say, you will be wise. A few months ago, I was reading an article. It says smartness comes with a gene. If you are born smart, it's genetic. And it says that smartness comes from mom's side of the family. And all the mom says, but if you're not born smart, you know who to blame. Right? Now, I'm not causing division. Smartness comes with the genes. But wisdom is something you can cultivate and nurture. I'm going to be 60 years old. I'm going to enter threshold of senior years. As a senior, he says that one of the privileges being a senior, you can give unsolicited advice. And so let me be giving you my first unsolicited advice. If you can choose between being smart and being wise, please choose wisdom. Because Paul tells us, wisdom, knowledge puffs up, but wisdom builds up. No one likes a smart Alex, but everyone will welcome a wise person. And sometimes people don't like you, it's because, Sorry, that's my second unsolicited advice. I begin this year saying that Jesus was a builder, right? Remember I say that often we think he's a carpenter, but based on the Greek word, it's more have to do with a stonemason, a constructor. So Jesus was not just a carpenter, or more than a carpenter, but rather Jesus is a builder of life. And that's why Peter will say about Jesus as a cornerstone, and we are all living stones. We are fit together by Jesus. But here Jesus is saying, every one of you, whether you hear me or you don't hear me, you are building something. But what are you building? He said, if you hear me, remember, Shema, Shema, listen and listen, hear and hear. Because faith comes by hearing, and hearing, Romans 10:17. He say, the one who hears Jesus is wise because that person is building something that will last. If we choose to follow Jesus, he will lead us because his spirit is also the spirit of wisdom. And wisdom will favor us who listen to Jesus. And what we receive will be uncommon wisdom. Insightful wisdom that when you are in a situation, somehow, because you hear Jesus, things will fall into its proper place. No matter how chaotic it can be, no matter sometimes we feel we're out of control, but when Jesus is with us, wisdom will begin to flow. Because Jesus said, all of us are building something. But whatever we build, there is a potential of threats. He described as the rain, the flood, and the wind. Sometimes whatever we build can be shaken because of natural disasters, calamities, economic crisis. Whatever we build can be shaken. But then Jesus say, if you build your whole life on who I am to you, the storm may come. The flood will rise. The wind will beat against you, but your house will stand because you have built yourself on a rock that is unmovable. Hallelujah. Don't be foolish. The foolish person here is not dumb or stupid, right? The Greek word is called moros. Moros is where we get the word moron. But here, it means, he say, the moronic guy is the one who gets to hear the gospel too. But that person who hears it did not act on it. So it's not about people who never hear about Jesus and then they make some wrong choices. It's not for us to condemn them. You get what I'm saying? It's not for us to judge them because they never hear the good news. The Spirit is not yet in them. They never walk in wisdom. But it's about us as well. Here was Jesus saying that you can be my disciple. But what and how are you learning? Remember the picture I showed? A couple of weeks, there are four kinds of learner in biblical time. The sponge who absorbs everything but processes nothing. The farmer who gets everything but also loses everything. The strainer only keeps the bad thing, but the thief is the one that keeps the good stuff. That's why Jesus tells a parable, you can ever be hearing but not listening. You can be seeing but not perceiving. But he says, for you and I, we have been challenged by the gospel that when we hear the gospel, we must respond and say, this is the truth of who I am and what I have in Christ. And only when you walk in the truth, the reality will come. But we can hear the gospel and still remain unfruitful, expose ourselves to the elements because we have not lived it up. Now, this morning I was attending another church. As some of you may know, now Sunday morning is I go to many different churches to worship, to steal some good ideas and bring back to you guys. And so it happened, I just met an old friend and she's a great-grandmother. And the first thing she saw me is say, I need to tell you something. I need to show you my great-granddaughter. She said, remember 2 years ago, you know, my daughter was carrying her and there was some complication. In fact, there was cysts growing and all this and that. And you prayed. You speak so boldly. You know, and now my granddaughter is born healthily and very much alive. Thank you for your prayer. Actually, I've forgotten everything. But when people praise you, just take it. Yeah. Good. Whatever we hear Jesus is saying, let us do it. Whatever Jesus is calling us, let us do it. But most time, people don't wait for some mysterious voice whispering to you. You have the Bible. You have the Word. When you are full of the Word, you are full of the will of God. Sometimes, many times, I meet believers who say, let me pray about it. Don't need to pray when you know it's really God's will. Just act on it. If you're not sure whether it's God's will, read the Bible again. Until you got it. But here, Jesus is telling us, whoever hears this saying of mine and does them, he or she is wise. In short, it's listen to Jesus and do what he says. But let's break it down a bit. What is Jesus saying to us? You begin to realize Jesus did not give us a long list of instruction on how to please God. If we go back to verse 31, can we show the previous slide? He says what? What does it mean to listen to Jesus? He says, he who does the will of my Father who is in heaven. He who does the will of my Father who is in heaven. What then is the will of the Father? It is for us to believe in Jesus. The very day you give your heart and your life to Jesus is the very first day you're going to walk in spiritual wisdom and understanding. And every day as you hear the gospel again and hear the gospel, the truth is this, we can never graduate from the gospel. That's why we are all called disciple, and disciple actually means a learner. And every day as we learn the gospel and put it into works, whatever we build can be shaken, but it will never fall. Let us pray. Father, we thank you for these words of Jesus telling us. And we thank you that in your perfect love, there is no fear. And I thank you for everyone here that, Lord, I know they hunger to hear you well. They desire to hear you well. And so I pray that, Father, as they continue to hear Jesus and do what he says, that this house will be a house of wise men and women, of young adults and children. When wisdom builds our house, oh Lord, we are not only going to be a blessing to each other, but we are going to be a blessing in our city. And I pray that, Father, through that wisdom, we will continue as individuals as well as a body, as a whole people of God, to be the good trees that produce good fruit. That whoever comes into our lives or wherever we go, that, Lord, through the encounter, they may know your sweetness and they may, one sense, say, come and taste and see the goodness of God. So, Father, I pray right now in Jesus' name. That everyone will desire wisdom. Because wisdom is the most practical gift we can receive from you and give to each other. In your name we pray.